Genesis chapter 22. That song, perhaps you noticed that we just sung, had that theme of going through trials and troubles and tests. And this is exactly what God is putting Abraham through in this chapter. Well-known passage, I'm sure you've heard sermons on it before. But it is a powerful passage for us to understand both trials and tests in our own life, but how we have been given that interceding work of our holy of God, Jesus Christ, in our life, and his passion and death we remember this week. Genesis chapter 22, congregation, hear the word of the Lord. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they both went of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. I draw your attention to our text for this morning, which is verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Let's ask God's blessing upon his word brought forth this morning. Heavenly Father, we do pray that indeed you may send your Holy Spirit to open our own eyes, to understand and to see in this ram caught in the thicket a picture of our Savior Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who was indeed offered up for us so that you provided salvation for us on Mount Calvary. Father, show us these things. Teach us of your grace. Grant your blessing to these, your people. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the account of Abraham's near sacrifice of his son Isaac there on Mount Moriah is pregnant with prophetic foretelling of God's actual sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary. The theologian F.B. Meyer, in his commentary on this passage, writes this: "So long as men live in the world, they turn to the story of Isaac's deliverance from Abraham with unwaning interest. There is only one scene in human history where it is surpassed, that being where the great Father in heaven gives up his own Isaac to a death from which there would be no deliverance." End of quote. Beloved, the passage before us is about faith. It is meant to build up our own faith by pointing us to our own substitution and sacrifice of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Here we see faith in its most stupendous and mightiest form. Here is one of the noblest passages in all of Abraham's noble life. You remember the Old Testament patriarch story, how he grew up in Ur of the Chaldees, somewhere near present-day Iraq. But he was a pagan. He worshipped sticks and stones, the sun and the stars. And yet by divine election, the Lord God looks upon Abram when he was yet in Satan's dungeon, and he calls him out to live into the light of life, the light of the world. Abraham leaves everything behind and he journeys to the land of Canaan. There God repeatedly appears to him, promising him land, prosperity, and children. In fact, God promises that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed because of his offspring. And this promise of children is made by God repeatedly to Abraham as the years go by. But those years roll into decades, and the decades into generations. And there is still no child given to Abraham and Sarah. Their home remains empty. God's promise seems to ring hollow. Yet Abraham continues to believe until finally God spoke and Isaac is born. The child of promise was truly a miracle of miracles, and Abraham's life was complete. His joy knew no end until that fateful day when the child was in his teen years and that voice of God once again rings from heaven. That voice which had so often caused Abraham's heart to warm with joy, that voice now freezes Abraham's soul. Look at verse 1. "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" Congregation, here's the first point of the message this morning: God's unthinkable command. Unthinkable. We're told in verse 1 that God intends this command to be a test of Abraham's faith. And so it is intended ultimately, we must understand, for Abraham's good. This is one of the most difficult things to understand about the Christian faith and life: how God often uses times of testing, bad things, for our good. How difficulty is often decreed by God in order to make us better. One of the old English Puritans wrote about this test of Abraham's faith: "Faith untried unprobed, unproven, is faith uncertain. The quality of the metal is ascertained by what it can bear. The courage of the soldier is evidenced on the battlefield. End of quote. And beloved, that's the hard part, isn't it? Because we don't like battles, do we? We much prefer peace. We don't see any value in difficulties coming to us, or heartaches, or trials. We see only pain and hurt and problems. And yet, beloved, in this sin-filled world, and because of our own sin-filled hearts, God knows that we need such pains and hurts in order to teach us to look away from ourselves and our own abilities and to look up to the Lord, who alone indeed can provide. Because you see, only when we are afflicted will we be submissive. Only when all hope in self is lost will we turn then in hope to God. The Lord knows this. And so he calls for these times of testing and affliction in order to teach our so easily wayward hearts to look even more to Jesus. God sends these trials, understand, to make us better. So realize, congregation, the Lord is not being vindictive or vengeful or even unfair in this test that he sends to Abraham or in the tests that he sends to you. Since God is God and we are his creatures, he can choose then to do with this with us as he so pleases. If he wants to severely test us, so be it. If he chooses to bless us and never curse us, may his name be praised. Do you remember what Job said at the end of the first chapter of his book, after every material blessing of his life has been taken from him, even all 10 of his children? What does Job say? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is faith. That is the response of a submissive heart, even in the midst of testing and trial. And we see that response in Abraham, don't we? Look at verse 3. Keep reading there. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Early in the morning, take notice, we're told in verse 3 there. Early Abraham gets up and does what the Lord requires. There's no waiting around for Abraham, no delaying tactics practiced by him. God has appeared to Abraham in the middle of the night, and early that next morning, Abraham gets up and without delay obeys the word of the Lord. Abraham responds immediately, even to such a word from God as this, because he knows that to delay in his obedience to God is to disobey God. Did you hear that, congregation? That's very important. To delay in your obedience to God is to disobey God. And I want to speak to the young people here and to the young adults that are gathered here, because I want you to think about this for just a moment, because so easily when you are younger, you will think that you have all the time in the world to get serious about your faith, to respond to the Lord in repentance and belief. You know, I know I was baptized, just like little Adeline was here this morning. I know what God requires of me. I've been trained in all these classes and all this stuff. I know what God wants me to do, but but I'm still young. Look at all the things that the world has to offer. Look at the fun that I'd be missing if I were to take my faith seriously right now. I'll just run around a little first. Indulge life a little first. Then later, I'll start thinking about God. When I'm older, I'll serve Him. Young people, listen, please. To linger is to sin. To delay is to disobey. Abraham acted upon his faith immediately, and it was that immediate action that helped him then to keep his resolve and to stand firm. It helped him to continue on in this task, which he didn't understand, even when everything within him was crying out to disobey God and run the other way. Notice also what verse 4 tells us. How it took 3 days for Abraham and Isaac to get to Mount Moriah. Now just think about that for a moment. Think about what must have been going on in Abraham's head and heart as he traveled with his son for these 3 days. Beloved, 3 days is an eternity when the devil is whispering in your ear the whole way, telling you this is crazy. Turn around. This can't be what God really said to you, Abraham. You're mistaken. You misheard God. He would never ask you to do this. This is the son of the promise, Abraham. He cannot die. And then to die by your own hand? What are you thinking? Beloved, the devil loves to have us doubt the word of the Lord. It's his favorite trick. What did he say to Eve in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say? I want to relate to you a time from my own life when I had a similar situation, Lord never asked me to sacrifice one of my own children. But it was when the Lord was calling me into the ministry. That call is a pretty nebulous thing. And I was 28 years old at the time. It was a scary time in my life because the Lord was asking me to start college and then start seminary. 7 years of schooling. But I had already been out of school for 10 years, out of high school. I had been fighting the Lord and His call on my life for several years, resisting, delaying. So young people, I speak from experience when I say to delay is to sin. By this time I was married, had a wife, 3 children. The oldest was already in Christian school, so I had tuition payments to make, a mortgage payment to make, bills to pay, food to buy. And I'm supposed to give my boss a 2 weeks notice and say, by the way, I'm going to start school for 7 years in order to be a minister? That's crazy talk, right? Surely that would be a huge mistake. I don't know about Abraham, but I could have been easily persuaded to forget all of that nonsense about preaching God's word and doing His will. Just go back to my boss and tell him that, no, this was all just a big mistake, a misunderstanding. This call from God was really just a bad burrito I had the night before. In fact, I remember one of my coworkers coming up to me in those 2 weeks when I had given my notice, after he found out that I was going to quit my job and start school, he said, well, but how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to make ends meet? What about your wife, your children, your family? I couldn't answer him. I did not have a logical, consistent response for him. All I could say was that somehow the Lord will take care of us. And he looked me in the eye and he shook his head and he said, I thought Christians were supposed to be responsible and conscientious. He said, you're just being crazy. That hurt. That almost persuaded me to turn around and go back. Now, you know, afterwards I can look back upon this and understand that that was the devil speaking through my coworker, because God did provide abundantly and amazingly. And it has been a great joy serving him for 34 years ever since. So I'm so thankful that he gave me the ability to turn my back on all those logical reasons to not do what I was considering doing and to perform the task that he put before me. Now that's my story. I don't know what task the Lord is setting before you. Probably not as difficult as Abraham's. Probably not even to go back to school for 7 years. But each and every one of us faces this very same decision each and every day. Am I going to serve the Lord or am I going to please myself? Am I going to follow God's ways and God's plans, God's will for my life, or am I just going to do what I want to do? Do I obey or do I delay? And every day, in every one of our ears, the devil is whispering 1,000 reasons for why God's way is not the best way for you. And who are you going to believe? And beloved, look at the question that almost tipped Abraham over the edge. It comes from his own son, verse 6. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Stop there, congregation. What an awful question for Abraham to answer. Every fiber of his being must have been bursting because of this innocent and yet telling question from his son. Because you see, this question hits where Abraham's faith is most susceptible. Because remember, Abraham doesn't know the outcome of this yet. We do. We can read the whole story. Abraham's living it in the moment. And that's right when the devil's going to get to you as well. In the moment. He knew that Isaac was to be the lamb for the burnt offering. God had commanded it. But yet God had also promised that Isaac, through Isaac, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham understood that but by the end of that day, Isaac would be dead. And yet he also knew that it was to be through Isaac that Abraham's offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand upon the seashore. How can that be? Humanly, this is impossible. And yet, how does Abraham respond? Verse 8. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. Take notice of this, congregation, especially if you right now are at a low point in your faith, if your walk with the Lord is being tested, if you are vulnerable and weak, being attacked by the devil, here's your answer as well. When you too have no logical response for what is happening to you in your life, you leave it in the hands of the Lord. God himself will provide. You see, beloved, this is how faith prevails. not by looking inwardly for the right answer, and not by looking to ourselves and being strong enough to overcome. We're not. We're called to look up to the Lord, for God Himself will provide for us. Faith, Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us, remember, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We don't see the end from the beginning, but God does. And in Abraham's response, we can see how this kind of faith ruled his heart and ran his life. God Himself will provide the lamb, my son. And that's exactly what happens, isn't it? Look at our text, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Here's the third point of the message this morning: God's redemptive providence. Abraham's faith was rewarded with a symbolic picture of the atoning power of Almighty God. Isaac is bound. He's laying there on the altar, seconds away from death. But God intervenes. God stays Abraham's hand, and a ram caught in the bushes becomes Isaac's substitute. God truly did provide. And notice it is a ram that is provided, beloved. Not a generic sheep or goat, but specifically a ram, a male sheep. And do you know why? Remember when else a ram was required in the Old Testament sacrificial system? You need to be a good Bible trivia player to remember this one. On the Day of Atonement, that one most unique and special of all of the days of the Jewish religious calendar, more important even than Passover, which was yesterday, by the way, the Day of Atonement most clearly points to Mount Calvary and the cross. Because on that day, and on only that day, the high priest was allowed to enter behind the curtain in the temple that separated the holy from the holy of holies, go into the holy of holies and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat of the ark, only on the Day of Atonement. And according to Leviticus chapter 16, four animals are required to be sacrificed on that day. First, a bull, to symbolically remove the sins of the high priest himself. That was strictly for the high priest. This was a personal sacrifice meant for the high priest alone. And then two goats were brought forward. These represented the sins of all the people of Israel. One was sacrificed. It was that blood that was captured and brought into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled behind the curtain. And the other goat had the hands of the high priest laid upon his head. This was the scapegoat, symbolizing the transfer of all of the sins of the people of God onto this one animal. And that animal was then led away out into the desert, where it would be torn apart by wild beasts, symbolizing what should happen to every sinner who stands before a holy God: consumed. Then a fourth animal was required to be sacrificed, a ram. And this animal was used as a whole burnt offering, dedicated, devoted solely to God. In other words, no parts of it could be eaten by humans. The blood was not saved and collected. It was totally consumed by fire upon the altar of God. And this last sacrifice was to represent the people's total dedication to and consecration for this holy God who had now made atonement for their sins. The ram symbolized atonement, complete communion and fellowship of a sinful people, now forgiven, with a holy God whose wrath was now appeased. So this ram in the bushes is sacrificed by Abraham in joyful celebration instead of his son, our text tells us. And all of this, as I said at the beginning of the message this morning, all of this is a prophecy pregnant with meaning. Because you see, in that ram, we see our Savior. In that ram, we see Jesus in the Old Testament. In that ram, we have a picture of how much our Heavenly Father was willing to do for us, how far He was willing to go for us and our salvation. On Mount Moriah, Abraham was only asked to sacrifice his son. His hand was stayed. He was not required to actually carry out this task. And even if he had carried it out, it would have only been a physical death that Isaac would have suffered. God could have raised him up again. But beloved, we must never forget that on Mount Calvary, God does sacrifice his only begotten son. And this is not a mere physical death only. Christ endures a true and real spiritual death and eternity of hell in those 3 hours of darkness that we will remember this Friday. And Christ's death accomplishes for us our redemption and peace. When the knife of God's justice was raised against his own son at Calvary, there was no one to intervene. No one to stay his hand. No one to call out, "Stop, do not harm the boy." No, God the Father offers up the greatest of sacrifices, his only begotten son. Jesus pays a horrible, agonizing price in our stead. And it is through that sacrifice that we are set free. We receive life because of Christ's sacrificial death. At Mount Calvary, God himself provided the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Believe in him. Go forth rejoicing in him for the forgiveness that you have in his name. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you indeed for this greatest of work, the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we would ask that indeed you would open our own eyes to see this great gift that you have given to us. May we indeed then not delay in responding to you in repentance and faith. And may you work upon our own hearts and upon our own lives. Lead us ever closer to you. Hold us in the hollow of your hand. Be with these your people as they go out into the world this week. May they live out this faith that you have given to them. Grant your blessing. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.